I'm Steve Coyne, and this is Elvis, the Making of a Legend.
There are probably several hundred people in front of Baptist Hospital. They all can't believe that Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, is dead. As reported from Maurice Elliott, vice president of administration for Baptist Hospital, that Elvis's road manager, Joe Esposito, found Elvis in his bedroom at 2:30 this afternoon, unconscious. Mr. Esposito reported that he found no vital signs at the time, but he immediately began resuscitation efforts, and the Memphis Fire Department ambulance was called. Resuscitation efforts were continued. He arrived at the hospital about 3 o'clock this afternoon, and Baptist Hospital's special Harvey team, a special team of emergency resuscitation experts, began work on Elvis's body. Their efforts were futile. After about 30 minutes, Dr. George Nicopoulos, Elvis's personal physician for many years, pronounced Elvis Presley dead.
In this air, so I face final curtain, my friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every byway. Oh, and more, much more than this, I did it my way.
On August 16th, 1977, at the age of 42, Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, was found dead in his upstairs bathroom at Graceland Mansion. Although numerous amounts of drugs were found in his system, the cause of death was listed as heart failure. George Klein, a lifetime friend of Elvis, remembers the day.
Yeah, I think everybody knew what they were doing when they heard about Elvis passing away. I was doing some freelance work at the time, get a call from one of my jocks, and he said, GK, he said, a thing just came across the wire that Elvis passed away. And I said, well, I don't believe it because we've had the rumors before. So he said, well, can you check it out? I said, yeah, I'll check it out. And so then no sooner hung that phone up, and the other lines started lining up like a Christmas tree, like a request line. And boy, they were flashing. And everyone I answered, it was someone that knew me that was in radio or TV, was telling me that. And finally, I kept telling them, oh, look, it's just a rumor. He's been sick before and been in and out of hospitals in the last couple of years. And, you know, I can't believe this. So I said, well, I better check it out. So I called Graceland, and I was told, yes, it's true, George, and you better get out as fast as you can.
Carl Perkins, who was one of the first to meet Elvis in his early Sun Record days and who remained a friend.
I knew there was something bad wrong with him. I went to a concert, and it just wasn't the Presley that I knew. And I knew there was something wrong because of his weight. He was so self-conscious in the early years. He couldn't walk by a mirror without pushing that pretty black hair around. And he was a very, very unique-looking boy. He was from the very beginning. But the Elvis I saw in Memphis a year before he died was not the showman that I had seen earlier.
Tennessee mourns, the nation mourns, and the world mourns this great loss of talent and this great humanitarian that came from a sharecropper's son to be elevated by his own talent, his own ambitions, and his own generosity.
Tennessee Governor Ray Branton. In the end, the music of Elvis is his legacy. To this day, no artist comes close to the records he set. Of his 149 songs that appeared on Billboard's Hot 100 pop chart, 114 were in the top 40, 40 were in the top 10, and 18 went to number 1. He led the charts in country music, R&B, as well as gospel. His relatively short movie career would reflect a lifetime of achievement for most, with a total of 31 films. Phil Everly.
Elvis Presley, without a doubt, was the king, and he deserved the title. He is the man that opened all the doors, that caused everything to happen, and allowed all the rest of us to come through, and anything that came after him came because of him.
Kim Vassar.
Elvis changed all our lives, I guess, in one way or another. And I began to, I was just a young teenager, and I had to have a guitar.
Well, Elvis changed the whole way that we looked at music, movies, and clothes, and he changed the way we wanted things and our desires, and most of all, he changed the music of the world at that time.
Conway Twitty.
Elvis Presley, to me, was the ultimate in the entertainment business. Nobody topped Elvis, and they still don't.
Dave Rowland.
He was a nice guy, and I really mean that. I sat down with him just about every night after a show in Las Vegas and in concerts across the states. And I'd go up to the suite at night, and we would sit down and talk about sports. We'd talk about politics or whatever was on the news that day or just anything. And, of course, we talked a lot about music. But he loved gospel music. And every night we would end up singing, and we'd end up singing gospel music. We wouldn't sing rock and roll. We wouldn't sing jazz. We wouldn't sing anything. It would always be a gospel tune that somebody would take out on.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I lonesome wonder, consider all the world's I has held me. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there oh, my God, how great thou art. Help save my soul.
Porter Wagner.
He had a lot of magic about him, you know, like when he was on stage, when he was entertaining, he took on a new personality, almost unbelievable, you know. I talked with Elvis a couple of years before he died when he was in Nashville recording. I had noticed quite a change in him as far as his happiness. Seemed like he wasn't near as free a type person as he was, almost like a prisoner, you might say.
Brenda Lee.
I think that he was a very lonely person. And sort of just a victim of his own success, really. He was so big that it was almost like he was a prisoner in ways.
Merle Haggard.
Oh, he was a great person. I liked him. And a nice boy, good country boy. And I used to get a kick out of watching him entertain those people, you know. The women would scream and holler and throw their babies out the window and everything else.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Oh, I wish I was in Dixie.
Many of his philanthropic endeavors went unnoticed by his success. Had it not been for Elvis, the USS Arizona Memorial at Pearl Harbor would not have been created. Each year, for many years, Elvis gave thousands of dollars to Memphis area charities, as well as around the country. And the Elvis Charitable Foundation continues to give in his memory. He was famous for giving away Cadillacs, cash, houses, and jewelry, often without hesitation. His generosity and talent was endless. There was, and never will be, anyone like Elvis. No wonder they call him the King. Today, Elvis continues to attract attention. Each year, thousands come to Memphis to visit Graceland.
I'm going to Graceland, Graceland, to Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to graceful. Poor boys and pilgrims, the families, and we are going to graceful.
Every August around the anniversary of Elvis' death, fans were coming back in ever-growing numbers to stop by Graceland, which wasn't open to the public yet, except you could walk up to the gravesite, and events started happening around town, and then after Graceland opened to the public in 1982, by the following year, had organized Elvis Week, and it's typically 9 days of events all over the city, day and night, something going on, and it's just this great celebration of Elvis's life and career, and this great global camaraderie that there is among people who identify themselves as Elvis fans.
I'm going to Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland.
Musically, his CDs continue to sell in large numbers around the world. Just recently, a new Elvis song topped the charts in the UK. Todd Morgan, director of media for Graceland.
Elvis has a number one record happening this year all over Europe, a record that topped the UK chart and is making its way up the charts here in America right now. And it's a remix, a dance mix, of a little-known recording of his called A Little Less Conversation.
Elvis versus JXL and A Little Less Conversation.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart and maybe satisfy me.
Elvis, The Making of a Legend, was written by Lonnie Napier and produced by Clem Daniels for Jones Radio Networks. Executive producers are Ken Moultrie, John Holliday, and Glenn Jones. All rights are reserved. No portion may be used without the written consent of the producers. Copyright 2002. I'm Steve Coyne. Thank you for joining us.
Elvis has left the building. He has left the building.